Hey, quick word before the show. The 2024 election is over, and as a new administration prepares to assume power, it is our job across the entire NPR network to report on what they do with that power. That's why we're here. And your support makes it possible for us to break down big stories, to fact check, and to make sure you understand what's going on. When you donate, you make a difference in our ability to do this work. If you're already a supporter, we're going to take this moment to just say thank you, truly. And if you're not, you can go to donate.npr.org to give. That's donate.npr.org. Okay, here's the show.
Before we get started, this episode includes some swearing, once in English, but some in the German dialect called Franconian.
This is Planet Money from NPR.
Today is a day that Friedrich Neuser has been waiting for the past 10 years. Good morning. Good morning. How are you doing, Friedrich?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Have you a good night?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. We're meeting him and his family in rural Germany, in the middle of miles and miles of farm fields.
This is your sister.
Ah, okay. Very nice to meet you. I'm Erica.
From America.
Erica from America. Friedrich loves a joke and is relentlessly positive. He's this tall, lanky potato farmer in his 60s.
For the last 10 years, Friedrich has planted, harvested, and cared for 9 specific plots of land here in Germany, specifically in this area called the Ossing. The Ossing is collectively owned by a group of 141 farmers.
But after today, the plots he's farmed and cared for will no longer be his. He'll trade them in for new plots through a lottery, a land lottery.
Every 10 years, for the last 500 years, so since the 1500s, the people in this community hold a lottery where farmers randomly get assigned plots of land that they will farm for the next 10 years of their lives. It's like farmland musical chairs.
So at today's lottery, the map of all this land is going to be wiped clean. Friedrich and all the farmers here, their economic fates will be decided by pulling names out of a bag.
The lottery is about to kick off soon. It takes place on hundreds of acres of grain, corn, potato fields, fields that will be up for grabs today. The opening ceremony starts inside a big tent. We settle in at a table with Friedrich.
I hope Fortuna is good to me.
Friedrich is talking about Fortuna, the Roman goddess of fortune. And he hopes today she helps him out.
He says the first thing he wants is at least 2 pieces of good land.
Gutes Feld wäre, dass ich wieder 2 Stücke bekomme, 2 Hektar sandiger Grund zum leichten Bearbeiten und zum Kartoffelbau.
He says he wants sandy soil because that's what's best for growing potatoes.
Yeah, I hope so.
And the second thing he wants is not too much bad land.
Friedrich has 9 plots of land, which means he will get 9 new plots of land. But not every plot is suited for potatoes. Some land is really bad for growing potatoes. It's too swampy or the soil is too dense. And every plot that's not ripe for potatoes will cost him.
I think it's beginning.
Yeah.
The master of ceremonies steps to the microphone for the start of the Ossing Ferlosun. That translates to the Ossing Land Lottery.
Ja, der Ossing begrüßt euch, liebe Gäste.
He says, the Ossing Land Lottery greets you, dear guests.
Friedrich is starting to look kind of nervous.
Ja, die Spannung steigt.
The tension is there. Yeah, I see you. Everybody looks a little happy, but also a little nervous right now.
Das Adrenalin ist tschu.
Friedrich says his adrenaline is going up, up, up. As he says this, his hand goes up like a roller coaster climbing. I raise my microphone as if I'm making a toast. All right, let there be good land.
For good land.
Hello and welcome to Planet Money. I'm Erica Barris.
And I'm Emma Peasley. In many ways, economics is about the best way a society can allocate their scarce resources. Hundreds of years ago, a community in Germany came up with their own unique solution to that question.
Today on the show, we follow along as every farmer has a shot at the perfect piece of land, or the absolute worst piece of land. And we see what we can learn from this living medieval tradition that tries to balance fairness and efficiency. So, why does Osing have this unusual lottery system? Well, we asked a bunch of people and they all said, we need to talk to George Rudolph.
Was ich vorher gemacht habe, ich bin Landwirt, Farmer.
George tells us he was a farmer, but today his main gig is being the Osing historian. And the history of this land lottery all starts with, what else? A classic German fairy tale.
The story begins 1,000 years ago.
Die beginnt so, dass ich die Kaiserin,
when an empress, Empress Kunigunde, was on a hunting trip here in this area, she got lost.
Dass ich die Kaiserin hier auf einer Jagd ausritt befand.
Back then, this land was all forest. And there were four villages at the edge of the forest, to the north, south, east, and west.
So, Empress Kunigunde was lost in the woods and she couldn't find her way out. Until she heard bells from the churches coming from the communities at the corners of the forest.
Das ist in drei Sätzen die Geschichte.
She found her way out, and she was so grateful she gifted the forest land to the people of these four villages. And that forest land became the Osing. It became the Osing farmland.
Okay, so parts of this fairy tale are probably not true. Like, these churches did not have bells 1,000 years ago. But everyone agrees the empress gave them the land. And while giving them the land was nice, it also created a problem. A problem that would eventually lead to the Osing lottery.
Because the four villages had to share that farmland. Now, communal farmland, it was not such a novel idea, especially around this time in Europe. Lots of places communally farmed land. But what the people of the Osing did next was kind of novel.
Diese vier Orte gab es ja nicht immer Einigkeit, sondern sehr viel Streitereien.
So they had some fight or some trouble with each other because they said, okay, you get better farmland than we and so on.
This is Marcus Hoffmann. He's an interpreter who helped us out. He's from this area and he knows this story well.
And he says, you see, the people here fought over the lands with the better soil. They fought over how much land they were getting.
It was not a war. It was just a fight, a verbal fight.
Okay.
They don't kill each other.
So it was just squabbling.
Yeah,
and your land is better than my land.
And maybe they punch each other. But,
oh, okay.
But it was not a war. It was not,
so
a,
not
war.
A war.
It was
punching.
Not a war.
Okay, so punching, but not a war. All over who got better land. Some parts were hilly, hard to get to. Some soil was better because it was fertile and you could grow almost anything on it. The worst soil was rocky and full of pebbles.
So, this is why in the 1500s, the villages came up with a novel system to distribute the land. Elsewhere in Europe, communities were turning communal land into plots people owned individually. Here in the Osing, though, they came up with their own version of land ownership.
They said, okay, we have to do it in a fair way for all the people from all four villages.
So, the villages created the land lottery. Basically, the Osing would be divided among the people of the four villages. The farmers would randomly be assigned plots. The good ones, the bad ones. Now, some people would be luckier than others. That happens. So there's another part of the lottery. You only got to keep your land for 10 years.
So after 10 years, the names went back in the bag and there was a new drawing. It meant no one would be stuck with a bad plot forever. Another lottery, another chance.
And this is the reason why we have the raffle every 10 years. So in 1 year, you are lucky, you get better land. Or in the next time, you are not so lucky, you get more worse. The Osing doesn't belong to anybody.
It actually belongs to everybody.
And while we don't do a lot of things today the way we did in the 1500s, for good reason, this land lottery has not changed at all. Every 10 years, in a year that ends in four, right after the harvest, the people here have held a lottery, no matter what. In 1984, the year it rained, the day before the lottery, and the fields were muddy, they did the lottery. Even in 1944, during World War II, when bombers flew overhead, they still did the lottery.
And today, in 2024, it's sunny, a little windy, and people are milling around, mostly dressed in jeans and hiking boots. But there's also a man dressed in lederhosen and a woman in a red velvet dress with puffy sleeves and a crown.
Ah. Is that the Empress?
Kunigunde is coming.
Kunigunde is coming.
When the lottery begins, hundreds of people spill out of the tent and onto a gravel path.
All the people are moving at the same time.
Yeah, so it's a traffic jam.
Yeah, it's a traffic jam.
The first thing to know about this lottery is that it involves a lot of walking. They really walk at a brisk pace.
All right, I guess we should walk a little faster.
No, there are a lot of people behind us.
They won't start until we all get there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Friedrich, the potato farmer, is moving fast. He has real dad at the airport energy. He's walking with a purpose, and we initially lose him in the crowd.
Oh, there he is. Hello again.
Hello again.
We're going to walk plot to plot and watch as they randomly draw winners at each one. In total, the group will walk to about 600 plots.
It's a long walk.
It's a long walk?
It's a long walk, yes.
Oh, I hope I wore the right shoes.
We never walk alone.
We get to our first plot with Friedrich and his son, Veit, who's taking over the farm. Veit has all the stakes with their name. They have 9 stakes for 9 plots of land. Some farmers have dozens of stakes, others just a few.
The master of ceremonies stands in the middle of the crowd with a bag that has the names of all the farmers in it. Friedrich has a blank map of the Olsing, ready to be filled in if they call his name.
We check out this first plot.
How is this land? Is this good or this is bad?
No, is everything a good land here?
This would be good?
Yeah, it's good.
What is so good about this land here?
Now it's the same ground. It's sandy. No stone, small stone.
Some of the best plots are at the beginning of the lottery. This first plot would be good for any crop, but it would be especially good for potatoes. So Friedrich really wants his name to be called.
A kid from the community reaches their hand into the bag, pulls out a slip of paper. The name of the winner trickles through the crowd.
Tony!
The name they call is Tony, not Friedrich. Tony gets this plot. There's some celebration as the new landowner makes their way to the center of the crowd and hammers a stake in the ground.
And then we start moving to the next plot.
Each plot is a little different, varying sizes, different soil quality, and that adrenaline Friedrich felt earlier, it's stronger. Because the land at the beginning of the lottery is some of the best, it's fertile, workable, he really wants his name to get called.
Oh, here we go. Here's another one. Let's see what happens now.
Mittenmeier Claudia.
Again, not him.
After an hour, 2 miles of walking, and a dozen more names being called.
Wilner.
Not you again?
No, my name.
Friedrich has watched as a lot of his neighbors get good land.
No, my name. Still?
No, ah. No. Fortuna is not good for me. Fortuna is sleeping.
What's going on? Are you sure your name is in the bag? Bist du sicher, dass dein Name da drin liegen?
This is Friedrich's 4th lottery. When his son was little, he was one of the children who pulled the names out of the bag. Kids love to do it because the farmers whose names they pull tip them. Today, his 8-year-old neighbor, Obi, is one of those kids getting handfuls of euros.
I got a 30 again. Now I have 90.
You have 90?
Yeah.
So you've read 3 times?
Yeah.
After 2 hours, the lottery is starting to get stressful. Because the good fields get doled out in the beginning, Friedrich is missing out. And he's worried they'll run out of the good land.
As the day stretches on, we start to notice all the ways that it feels like we are not in the year 2024. This whole lottery seems really inefficient. For example, they walk plot to plot, and they measure all the plots by hand, using a tool that predates the metric system. The tool is called a gert. It's basically a giant wooden ruler with an incremental measurement called a shoe. That's German for shoe. And it's based on an actual person's shoe size. The people here, though, say, all this ceremony is because of fairness.
Friedrich says the most important thing is fairness. And Marcus says that's why the lottery has stuck around.
It's still the main reason why we do this lottery stuff. If we do it only from the commercial point of view, I'm pretty sure they would stop it and would say, okay, one time we sell all the land and who have the most money, he can buy the best areas. But the main purpose of the lottery is fairness for everybody.
And this is key to what makes this system work. that people believe it's fair. The things we're seeing, like measuring the land by hand using an ancient tool, walking plot to plot, and watching each name drawn out of a bag. These are symbols of the system's fairness. And because people believe this is all fair, they're willing to accept the outcome of the lottery. The ritualization helps people accept their fate.
And if any of that were to change, you might lose what makes this so special. They're willing to give up some efficiency for more fairness. But still, people are getting impatient. Like 8-year-old Obi, who is waiting to pull names from the bag.
I do it fast, so everyone can go on. Like, all the kids are, like staying there for, like, 3 minutes. And the kids are wiggling their whole hand in the bag, trying to pick it out, opening it, then struggling to, like, they can't even read.
Can you read the names?
Sort of.
3 hours in, and a few dozen plots have new owners. But Friedrich is still waiting for his turn, waiting for his name to be called.
Now, there are only about 10 good plots left. If his name isn't called soon, he'll be stuck with bad land. Friedrich, though, is still holding out hope. And then...
Noise.
Noise.
Woohoo, Friedrich! Ah, that's you.
That's mine, yeah.
Ah.
Friedrich and his son start hammering in the stake with their name on it. Friedrich has a full smile.
This is a good one.
Yeah.
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 This is your claim?
Yes.
He pulls out his map of the Osing and writes down his name.
So we're looking at a map of all of Osing, and you're going to write what you just got. It's so gloriously analog.
Today is a good feeling.
Today is a good feeling.
Fortuna war good.
And then, another few plots later, his name is called again.
Veit Neuser.
Yeah, this passed.
Yes, it is perfect in Franconian.
Wait, this is perfect?
This is perfect.
Perfect, yeah.
His bag is 2 stakes lighter. Friedrich is happy. After a bit more walking, he gets a few more okay plots. But it's now hour 6. We've walked about 10 miles. And at this point, we start crossing over into the Badland.
So we're walking down a hill. I'm thinking, like, maybe these are scratchy plants.
They definitely feel like scratchy, scritchy roots of something.
Do you all have ticks in Germany?
What is ticks?
Zecken.
Yes, yes. It's a...
yes. That's not what I
that
wanted
was
to hear.
Very yeah. confident yes.
Yes, yes. Unfortunately...
It feels like things are changing. The sun is bearing down on us, and the soil in these plots is noticeably worse. This is not the kind of land Friedrich wants, but he still has 3 stakes left. Friedrich is worried about getting one of these really bad plots.
And after a few draws, his name does get called.
Friedrich's son, Veit, hammers their stick in, and when he finishes, he leans over and mutters something to Marcus.
Just before he walked away, he said, you can tell it's a schlumpf.
Schlumpf is Franconian, and we'll let Marcus explain what it means.
Schlumpf is Franconian slang for it's shitty.
This land has terrible rocky soil. It's nowhere near his house or even his other plots.
Schlumpf. Schlump, schlump.
Yeah, your son said schlump and walked away. So that seems like he didn't like this land too much.
Yeah, es ist ein Schlump, aber man bringt, es ist nicht wertlos. Es ist halt nicht so hoch im Wert.
He says it's a bit schlumpy, but not worthless. Still land, though. Friedrich, the eternal optimist, knows that all hope is not lost.
Friedrich has gotten 9 plots through the lottery. 2 are really good. A few are medium and 2 are schlumpy. But these might not be the plots he ends the day with. Because in all the rules of this land lottery, there's another move that can be made.
Nah, it's noch nicht vorbei.
Friedrich says it's not over yet.
Die Hoffnung stirbt zuletzt.
Hope dies last. There's still a possibility. After the break, the Osing for Losung allows Friedrich 1 more shot at getting those good plots of soil.
After 15 miles of walking and more than 600 names being drawn, the map of the Osing has been rewritten. And looking at the new map, it's kind of a mess. Farmers have plots that are all disconnected from each other, and wheat farmers have soil that's good for potatoes. Potato farmers have soil that's better for corn.
Like Friedrich, he got a few pieces of land he doesn't want because they're far from his other plots and they're not great for growing potatoes. And that's bad for Friedrich. That would mean half as many crops in a year on those plots. But that's also bad for the economy, because this land would be great for farming corn or wheat. And so Friedrich getting this land is kind of a waste.
This is partly why pretty much everyone else on the planet buys and sells land. If Friedrich could just buy the land he wants, he could make sure he got exactly the land he needs for potato farming. But because he's in the lottery, he has to leave it to chance.
So the lottery's fair, but maybe not efficient. That's why the people of the Osing have a second part to the Osing Ferlosung. The celebratory tent has turned into a trading pit. Farmers like Friedrich can go to another farmer and outright trade for a better plot. There are more than 600 other plots, hundreds of potential deals.
And this is maybe the coolest part of the day. Farmers are sprawled out across tables. They're poring over their maps of the Osing. They're constantly writing and erasing as they go back and forth on offers.
A secondary market has emerged, because even though the lottery is designed and executed to be totally, completely random, after the plots are assigned, the new landowners can all trade with each other. Essentially, Marcus says, it's like this game we all kind of know.
It's a little like Monopoly.
Aha!
If you know the game Monopoly.
Yeah, farmers are trying to trade their plots like Monopoly property, hoping to get a bunch of them together.
If you have already a good starting point, then it's easier. But if your areas are distributed everywhere in the Osing, then you need to negotiate more, or you have to trade more often.
The goal of trade is to maximize what lots we get in life. And that is precisely what everyone here in the Osing is doing. Farmers can trade a plot for a plot, but they can also add money to a deal.
Are there rules for trading?
Not really.
Not really.
Normal human rules. Yeah. Don't punch each other into the face.
Yeah, but that's a good rule.
Friedrich and his son start trying to make some trades. They want to get rid of their bad, schlumpfy plots.
Wenn wir so ein Kerl das tauschen mir für dich, dann läuft es. Dann tauschen wir halt einfach Land gegen Land.
They approach one farmer who seems open. They all scrutinize their respective maps.
Wenn wir uns einig.
Ja.
Okay.
Wenn wir uns einig, ja. Also, danke dir.
But then, the other farmer abruptly walks away.
Did a deal happen?
A little bit.
What does that mean, a little bit?
A little bit means the other farmer is open. He's willing to trade, but only if Friedrich and his son convince the farmer with the plot on the other side of them to trade too. So they'll have to wait and see on that one.
Next, Friedrich and his son try making a deal with one of the big farmers, the ones with lots of plots. A lot of the big farmers have set up makeshift headquarters on the beds of their pickup trucks. Smaller farmers like Friedrich and his son seek them out, hoping to make a deal.
His son walks up to one of the big farmers and proposes a trade. He tells them about one of his schlumpfy plots. But before he even gets to the specifics, the group laughs him off.
No, it is no fun.
So Friedrich finds the next farmer, and they huddle over his map of the Osing. Over the course of the day, it's become covered with smudged names and phone numbers and all kinds of notes.
One farmer says he might make a deal with them, but Friedrich's plot is next to an organic farmer's. That might be a hassle. It might affect how he can farm. So he's going to wait and see who else will make him an offer.
All around us, these strategic trades are happening. And the farmers have different strategies. One of the farmers has a notebook with a list of 15 deals he needs to make to get all of his land together. Marcus talks us through an exchange between the two farmers.
Okay, is this okay?
Was wäre der Deckel im Saalschild zusammenschneiden?
So, Jürgen said to Heiko, okay, I reserve it for you. I keep that for you, but we cannot close the deal because I have to do something in advance. And Heiko replied, no, 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 that's not a fair deal. I want it for sure, and I want it here. So
a little bit of hardball.
Yeah.
The people here spend 3 or 4 hours negotiating. You can picture the map of the Osing being drawn and erased, hundreds of times throughout the night.
And with each trade, the land itself gets closer to its most efficient use. In theory, trading means the land can end up with the farmer who will make the most of it, help it yield its highest value. And after all the trading is over, the farmers and the land will be better off. And we see some of this happening right in front of us.
A handshake.
Yeah.
Wow, that's official. And we notice, yes, each farmer is looking out for their own interests. But there's also this sense of community. People are making deals and saying, like, we'll figure out the money later. Because the people here are all neighbors. They'll sing in the community choir together. Their kids will go to school together. And they'll all see each other at the one restaurant in town.
Shout out to the Gasthaus Grunebaum.
And of course, they're going to do this whole thing again in 10 years.
The crowd in the tent starts to thin. We check back in with Friedrich and his son. They've had dozens of conversations and the prospects of a few three-way trades, but no handshakes. They decide to pause their trading for the night. And Friedrich tells us, yes, this whole system is confusing. But it is what they have. They can't change it.
Beautiful or not beautiful.
Whether it's beautiful or not. His son Veit says, yeah, this is out of date. 100 years ago, it was okay. But it's 2024.
Mittlerweile. Im Jahr 2024, nein, passt eigentlich nicht mehr.
They get ready to leave. Friedrich feels confident he'll get some trades done in the next couple of weeks before all the plots have to be locked in until 2034.
All 10 years, it's enough. It's very enough.
Just doing this every 10 years is enough.
It's enough. It's all enough.
And so another chapter in this 1,000-year-old fairy tale is coming to an end.
Way back when, the lottery was a solution to all kinds of equity problems. And at different points in history, the people of the Osing could have abandoned this lottery.
If they did, maybe one village or one family would have gotten all the good plots, amassed a lot of wealth, maybe become the noble families of the area.
But instead, the Osing holds the lottery every 10 years. Every decade, the plots all get mixed up and reassigned. So everyone gets a chance at getting the good land. And if not, they can see what trades they can make.
A few weeks after the lottery, we spoke with Friedrich. In the end, he made 7 trades and got all the land he wanted. And he's going to get to farm it, happily ever after, or at least for the next 10 years.
Today's show was produced by me, Emma Peasley. It was edited by Jess Jang, reporting help from Sophia Shukina. It was fact-checked by Sierra Juarez. It was engineered by Neil Rausch. Alex Goldmark is our executive producer.
Thank you to Karina Tall. Adam Berry, Caitlin Carroll, and Caroline Dries provided interpretation help. And thank you to Mary Claire Pete for first telling us about this land lottery a couple years ago. I'm Erica Barris.
And I'm Emma Peasley. This is NPR. Thanks for listening.